Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The thing that nobody knows, and this is a credit to Jalen, is in the bye week, Brandon Graham actually with Big Dom went to his house and said, hey man, we need you to kind of connect more with everybody here. Right? As a quarterback, you kind of get lost in that. So much other stuff you got to do. And he went out of his way. He met with the offensive line, connected. He met with Sirianni like three times or several times. Connect with him. Connected with, like, he went out of his way with Graham, with everybody, to connect with them more, saying, okay, I understand this more of the quarterback position than me just sitting here with the game plan and, you know, making sure I could, you know, throw here and throw there. And they all credit him with doing a great job for it. And it's just, it's not out there how good of a job he's done to connect with his teammates.
No, there it is. Jake Lazor talking about Hurts connecting Brandon Graham. That was reported a couple days ago. Now we know yesterday, BG on Instagram said lies, that that wasn't really true. So yesterday, press conference, here's what Jalen Hurts had to say when asked if this said meeting took place.
Jalen, there was a report that Brandon Graham and Big Dom came to your house during the bye week to talk to you about, I think it was connecting with your teammates. Is that true? And just like, what was that meeting like with Brandon that he kind of reached out to you with?
It wasn't true.
That's that, I guess. It wasn't true.
Yeah. I think that in this situation...
Put your detective cap on here.
It's probably semantics. I think maybe. Because I think when you hear the story in the way it's presented, you're thinking about the way, like, you, in my mind, it feels like, you know, you ring the doorbell... And at Jalen's home, and he looks out, and it's Big Dom
and BG,
and they're saying, yo, dog, we need to talk. And Jalen's like, what's the problem? You need to connect better with the team. I don't think it went that way. I don't think it went that way. I think it was more maybe they just were in passing, and they were having conversations, and it was brought up in maybe a roundabout way about, you know, interactions. And somebody says, well, hey, I know, you know, maybe it happened this way or that way. But I don't think nobody ever came to somebody's knocking on somebody's door and saying it happened that way.
Yeah, the way it was presented and the way it was asked, and Elliot, good job asking the question. It was like you could almost have plausible deniability. Like, did it happen this way on this time? And you could say no. So, look, I don't know. Maybe they did talk. Maybe that's it happened. I don't know what happened here. It is a little bizarre. Like, what does Jake Lazor get from putting out something that is
it makes
not
him
true?
It gives him street cred.
No, but what does he get? What does he get if it's not true? It's weird. Like, well, I would think there's some truth to it.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know, for him, who is the Adam Schefter and those guys, it just adds validity to what they say, and for him to say it, like, he's probably not going to walk it back because at this point he doesn't have to. He's on to the next one.
Yeah.
But it gives them something that makes people say, oh, well, Jay knows everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, also, I look, both BG and Jalen said it was not true, so we could accept their word for it. We don't have to. We could. It doesn't have to. They almost are acting as if this is a bad story. They're trying to put the fire out. It doesn't have to be a bad story. Like, Jalen Hurts listened to
Maybe they just don't like the fact that Jay is embellishing.
Well, but Jay's not getting this from like some sort of like make believe area. He got this from someone that thinks they know the story, whether that's a teammate or someone around the team. So again, someone's talking.
Well, first of all, it was presented by Jay Glazer as a positive
thing. Totally
he
was.
Started off with Jalen's not getting enough credit for this and that. Like, I find it hilarious and annoying that since Jalen and BG said not true, that everyone's like, well, clearly it's a lie. Like, the Jalen and BG have more to gain by saying it's a lie than Jay Glazer does by lying. Like, and vice versa. Like, they, if you do view this as a negative story, or if you are of the mindset that it can be construed as a negative story, then in that case, Jalen and BG have more to lose by that coming out or being, you know, known as true. Jay Glazer has no stake in this of why he would have to put this out, right? So it doesn't, it's just a little bit strange to me.
Yeah, and I think that what you said there, Kyle, like the fact that Jay presented it as a positive, like why would he present a positive that he made up? It's not a salacious story.
Right.
Now, us here, because we know the history of last year and the jail and leadership stuff and all that, we will dive deeper in and think like, maybe he didn't connect enough in the summer, whatever. But like when he puts that out nationally, because Jay Glazer, is a national, insider. I don't think anyone in any other city hears that and says, in Philadelphia. He's presenting it as a positive. I just thought it was interesting yesterday, Hugh, that he, they both denied it. Why do you think why do you think they're denying it?
Because they didn't want to be, felt like they were being lied on. That's the only thing I can think of. Like, maybe they don't like Jay Glazer. I'm speculating here. Maybe they don't like the fact that he reported something that he doesn't have any bearings on. And I'll tell you another thing. I think at this point, with so much stuff happening and so many people having so many different versions of the story with the locker room stuff, I think it was probably for them, both of them. They felt compelled or like it was important for them to keep the truth, some monicum of the truth, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I just think it's funny that it was presented as a positive thing. But no lies. Wait a second. He was giving him credit.
Does it feel like an overcompensation because I love Brandon Graham. But, you know, with everything that happened last week. And then it became the media versus the Eagles and stuff like that. Is this sort of an overcompensation of I don't know.
A little bit of that. See, there's
those
a lot,
media members like Hugh Douglas.
Yes, yeah.
There's a lot of layers
always stirring
to this.
Up drama.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to this. There is a lot of layers to this. And I think that part of what you guys are talking about has something to do with it. The fact that, you know, in their mind, we are the catalyst for everything that has happened over the last couple of weeks.
That's what I was saying, a parade float for WIP.
I'll just say this. We've never known Jay Glazer to make up sources or lie about something. We have known football players to deny things.
That are true.
Right. Like, so I just... I want people to at least attempt to connect some dots here.
Well, also, if you remember, was it 3 years ago? Jay Glazer was the first one with the news that Jalen had a high ankle sprain. Remember that when he hurt himself against the Giants?
No, he does a good job.
Yeah, I mean, and he's also been connected here. He seems like he's hit a lot here.
He's been known to embellish a little bit. He's
Glazer?
Embellished a few. Yeah.
When?
I know a story firsthand that he embellished.
What?
But okay, but if you embellish a story, it doesn't mean it's true. It means you add sauce to it, right?
Well, you make it sound like it's more, I guess, more salacious than it is. He's embellished a few times.
All right, so maybe they talked and I think the way you presented it, that maybe they did have a conversation and it was casual.
I believe that was the case. I believe that there was, because there's been reports out there that people have talked about Jalen having more of a connection with the team
for a while.
So
yeah.
I don't think Jay's lying. That's the point that I'm making. Now, walking up to somebody's house, having an intervention.
Looking through the peephole and
see
them out
there. You know what I'm saying?
There.
Like, I don't know if that happened.
It did come across as an intervention.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because it's almost like you're making it sound like, hey, you're the problem because you don't hang out with people.
Well, I think
you don't do this or you don't do that. So I don't think it was that.
The goofiest part of it is that it's presented as though BG needed a hired goon in Big Dom.
Yeah.
To like intimidate Jalen into, and this is just totally my sauce on the story.
But I could tell.
Intimidate him into connecting more with his teammates.
Like, it's like as if they kind of brought it up before, it did, nothing happened. Then yeah. You bring the muscle and it changes
exactly.
Everything.
Exactly. He's got this showing up in a suit. Like,
yep. All right. One more thing.
What's good for you.
One more thing from Jalen yesterday at the press conference. And I think this is interesting. We brought this up Monday. So Jalen played his best game in spite of what we now know is a broken finger on his left hand.
Yeah.
So, and Jalen did say after the game affected him. He expounded on that yesterday. He said his broken finger on his left hand is bothering him, and it does affect him. He says when he's running with the football, he can't hold it in his left hand, so he did not switch it from his right hand to his left hand when T.J. Watt punched it out. Hugh, I'm going to ask you a question as someone who lived this life. I hear that, and I think, aren't defensive coordinators and defensive linemen going to try to push him left, like force him left, because he, you know, the ball carrier moves the ball to the outside hand, right, towards the sideline mm-hmm. to protect it if it gets knocked out so it falls out of bounds and gets taken away. He's telling everyone he can't hold the ball in his left hand, I'm assuming for the rest of the season. I don't know how long this could take to heal because he's playing through it. It feels like that makes it challenging for him to run left because he's got to hold it in his right arm and they're going to punch at it.
Yeah, they are, but I think that the way you counteract that, Joe, is that if you take off and run, you got to get down before somebody gets close to you. Because you're running that risk.
Like what happened to Watt.
Yeah. Because he was, if I'm not mistaken, he was more in a crowd of people when that happened. And after that, you saw him not really so much being in the crowd or making sure. We took off and ran for that one, when he ran, I think, for like 20 yards or something. It was almost like the parting of the Red Sea.
Mm.
And he took off. I think he's going to be more conscious of the run lane. And if it's a little muddy, then he's going to have to be a little bit more wary or getting down
yeah.
in situations
it's
like
It's something
that.
To monitor. Look, I'm sure at some point teams would have picked up on this on film. I just think it was interesting he admitted it yesterday. He's so guarded with a lot of things he doesn't want to tell us, but he was very open about that yesterday. Like, yeah, I can't hold the ball in my left hand. All right, well, yeah, now everyone knows. So we'll see how that plays out. 215-592-9494. Back to the phone lines here. Has Nick Sirianni fully won you over as the Eagles have won 10 straight? Hugh's on Hugh Island. He's fully, you know, he's getting there and being fully won over. Kyle's on Sirianni Island, and I'm in the boat, and I will, you know, I'll park my boat on an island once we get through the postseason. I'm not fully sold yet. Steve in Deptford is up. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Hey, Steve.
What's up, Steve?
Well, I was calling in earlier because I heard Kyle talking, and I gotta agree with Kyle about throwing the ball with Saquon. I mean, because everyone would have lost their mind if Dan Campbell just ran, when he ran the ball against Green Bay, and didn't get it on that fourth down, but he did. And now nobody's talking about
it. No, but Steve, I disagree. There was logic to that. His defense is all banged up. And if he gave the ball back after a field goal to the Packers with 40 seconds to go, Jordan Love was going to go right down for a field goal attempt. Like,
well,
our
defense sucked too at that time.
Right, but I understand that. That's why you give the team with no timeouts no time to make it down the field. Like, Steve, I hear you in that it is about the result, but I thought that had logic to it, like the one a few weeks ago you're referencing.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think most of this is looking back on it now after the fact. Results based instead of in the moment with the play call, it would have worked aside from dropping the ball. Just like last year in the NFC Championship game, Dan Campbell went for it again. That time it didn't work. He openly said it didn't work. Then he came back against Green Bay in a division game at home and then doubled down and did it again.
Sure. But they're different, Steve. I mean, did you like when they went for it instead of ran the ball against the Falcons? Like, they were lining up to go for it. Did you think it was the right idea?
I think lining up to go for it was the right idea. Now, rather run, if you want to debate run or pass.
Right. Like, all right. So, if I said to you they're going to throw here, what would you have said before you saw the route develop?
I think, because in that moment you were running the ball pretty good.
Yeah.
You were running the ball pretty well. And it seemed like you were trying to be cute in that situation.
Right. I mean, I guess in that part of it makes sense. Where, you know, throwing it in that moment may not have been the best idea, but like Kyle said, though, it was going to work. The execution just wasn't there.
Right, but that you have, and Steve, we appreciate you have to build that into the decision making. You know, there's a
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. for millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Can't, it's not going to work, right? That's every football play. That's how they work.
Right. I don't want to spend the rest of the show relitigating the Saquon drop play call. This and that. I just
relitigate everything
because it was December.
They were 3 months ago. They were a completely different team. I will just leave it at this. When we do the risk reward thing, if you tell me that the reward is game over, you win, I take that every time.
Well, I don't. I mean, I think it depends on the situation. I mean,
coward.
Well, no, it depends on the situation. Like that. Otherwise, there isn't. What's the point of having a coach? Just press the button. So, like, have anyone that has any. Just tell them this. The game is over if you go for this. All right. Like, there has to be some discernment of your team, of the situation, of the opponent. That's the head coach's job, and that's why we criticize them. I just think it's funny that we have gone so far on Sirianni. At least a lot of people have today because they've won 10 games in a row.
That's pretty impressive.
Like, that's some small feat?
No, yes. but what does it really mean?
The Eagles have never done that before.
I understand.
What does it really mean?
Jim Mora Jr. won 11 games in a row once. Like, the senior. Who cares? Like,
who
in terms
cares?
Of...
You know, who cares 10 wins in a row?
No, well, but in terms of your full trust. It's not preposterous. Yeah, what does it really mean?
It means that he salvaged a season that looked like it was on the rocks.
Good. They have the best roster.
Come on.
He does. But like, why would I get fully sold until he wins something significant?
I get that part of it, but I think that you should give him credit where credit was due.
I did.
Well, hold on. Are you fully sold on Sean McDermott?
No.
Okay.
He screws up every postseason. He's going to do it again this year.
I feel like the bar being winning a Super Bowl is a little bit ridiculous. There are great coaches that have never won Super Bowls.
I've been called ridiculous before. I'm okay with that.
I'm talking. This is about you. Don't make this about you.
No, I'm just saying.
We're trying to win this argument today.
I've been called ridiculous, but that is a high bar. And I look at the way that this season was trending for him to refocus this squad and refocus himself for that matter. Because I think another part of this you're missing. Is that he's grown as a coach right before our eyes. And I think it's hard for a lot of people to see that because they still see him as the guy who made the silly decisions about or said some of the silly stuff that he says when he says it.
I agree. Well, I mean, to be fair, Hugh, that wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't.
The Jaguars game was just October. It wasn't like this was years ago. All right, Kyle said bars, that's too high to say the Super Bowl. Right? There are great coaches or very good coaches. Took Andy a long time to win one, and he's obviously a great coach. What's the bar then? What is the bar this year?
Joe, listen, I'm with you because I look at it like this. And you didn't ask me this, but I'm share it with you because this is how I look at Coach Sirianni's year. He has done a tremendous job of coaching this team. This team has thrived in spite of a bunch of different intangibles. You could make an argument that the NFC is not what it looks, what we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season.
I think it's better. I think it's really, really good coaching.
I think that, you know, and it's never, you know, Super Bowl or bust. I mean, it kind of is. For me, it is. But I feel like this is the year, if they're in any other year, that if there was a chance to win it, it's this year. And if he, and it all depends on how it happens. If he doesn't, that's a conversation to be had.
Well, the reality is if he doesn't, it's an underachievement, right? It would be a surprise if this Eagles team doesn't stay the course throughout the postseason. and rip off some wins here. So,
let's take the different bars. Obviously, he wins the Super Bowl. He did a great job. I say if they get to the Super Bowl, he's done a fantastic job this season. That's two Super Bowl appearances in 3 years. That's
a phenomenal job.
All right. So is getting to the NFC title game, is that a thumbs up? We all move on and we're happy? Is that, I'm just wondering where the bar is.
Again, that's what I'm saying. It's style points matters in this situation. I can't, like, to be honest, and I might be saying this because I'm you know, I got skin in the game, former Eagle, all this other stuff. I don't see there's a path. Even though we've questioned the teams that they're playing, I think they're the strongest team in the playoffs.
They look like it right now, yeah.
And they look like a lock. And I'm, again, I might be in my fandom, might be a little bit of a homer. But I feel like they are the best team in the NFC, and it's Super Bowl or bust for me.
Like, the bar is stay the course for where they're at right now. So given what the team's been able to do this year under Nick Sirianni, it would be a surprise. And I think it's unfair to say that Sirianni is one of the top reasons they could not win in the postseason at this point, just given how well they played this year under him. Like, well, I don't know what's there to make that assumption at this point right now, given the way that they played.
Well, what else would you choose? Jalen?
A pretty big one, yeah.
But other than that, I mean, I don't expect the defense just fold.
Sirianni's had a much better year than Jalen Hurts.
I think the year just looks different for Jalen. Jalen's had a pretty good year. It just doesn't look like what we're comparing.
Well, let me throw this Jalen thing there. Mm-hmm. Might not look the way you want it to. But it's going to be the way that Nick Sirianni wants
there
it to
is.
Look.
Can he say that?
And they're going to win, baby.
Let's go to Terrell in Philadelphia. What's up, Terrell?
Yeah, how you doing today?
Good, Terrell. What's up?
I'm just confused. Like, why are y'all giving Nick Sirianni, not y'all, but a lot of people on the radio giving Nick Sirianni so much praise and Jalen Hurts nothing, and they got the same winning ratio.
I think that's fair.
It's too different. Like, because I be hearing, Jalen Hurts is a bad quarterback. Jalen Hurts wins. Last time I heard, winning is everything.
Could I respond to that?
Go ahead.
Go for it.
Wins are much more attributed to a head coach than a quarterback. There's a lot of things we can use to evaluate how a quarterback plays. The only thing you can use to evaluate a head coach is wins and losses. Like, QB wins are, I think, a little bit ridiculous. Head coach wins are the bar.
Yeah, well,
so that's where I think the comparison.
But you also could say it's an organizational thing. I think the Eagles' wins are organizational wins. I mean, they could, like, if they had a different coach here, they would lose a lot of games. Go ahead, Terrell.
They record would be better than Nick Sirianni if we had like Andy Reid, Bill Belichick.
With the greatest coaches of all time? Obviously. What are we talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Our team is the reason why Nick Sirianni got a good record. Y'all keep up there and talk about Nick Sirianni. When the play caller gets switched, Nick Sirianni looked good. When he got the play caller, it don't look good.
I think Coach Sirianni's getting praise to answer your question is because he's done a great job of refocusing this football team, because early in the season, it looked like they were as focused as they are now. I think he gets credit for that.
So I you're right, Hugh and Terrell, we preached the call, but like, so there was a mess on aisle four and he cleaned it up, and now I give him credit for the clean up the mess. Don't have messes.
It's NFL football. There, with 53 guys on a roster, you don't think there's going to be a mess that comes up? It's about how you navigate it.
Yeah,
the Chiefs have receivers calling the quarterback?
The Chiefs have, their mess looks different because they're getting banged up, injured. Like, adversity hits you in different forms.
Sure, of course it does. And I agree with that. And like, some guys have injuries to deal with, some guys have info. It's part of the NFL, but it is ironic that he's a culture guy. The last 2 years, there have been some questions on their culture, and now we give him credit for fixing the culture. I mean, it is. It's like, well, you know what? This guy's an incredible firefighter. He's an arson, and he's a firefighter.
Okay, well, what is here? What is
mean,
the
culture? Like,
well, hold on. Now I'm glad you brought up the culture thing.
It's his locker room, and his locker room has issues. Hold on. And then he cleans up the locker room issues. I'm supposed to say, well, now I'm sold.
Guys.
Come on.
4 years. Has the culture been largely good? We're largely bad. They've
largely
had a seven-game sample size where we're like, crap, the culture stinks. Largely over Sirianni's career, the culture's been excellent.
Sure.
Okay, I just want to point that out. That there's not, it's not going to be peaches and cream.
I agree with that.
Okay, and this could have collapsed and took a really ugly turn, even when they started 2-2.
It's the best thing we have for him, because we can't discern.
It's a really good feather in his cap.
He doesn't have any feathers, the way I see him on
Sundays.
Sure
he does.
The arson analogy was crazy.
215-592-9494. All right, that's how you hop in. All right, coming up on the other side, we got a lot to get to here, including, I mean, you guys got to hear this. Last week, we had a lot going on here with the Eagles and a lot going on with the offense. It got better last week. What about one of the coaches on this team that we're not talking a lot about his future? Is he going to be here or is someone going to poach this guy away? 215-592-9494. Stay tuned. Hughes Holiday Stock coming up. What is in it today? And a special anniversary in Philadelphia sports. All to come. 215-592-9494. You're fully sold on Nick Sirianni. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.